Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very pleased to welcome Debs Udo. I think it's the first time I've ever heard a nurse speak at Fosdem, so it's a first for Fosdem. And she's going to look at how we address the FOST funding paradox. Over to you, Debs.
Thank you, Jeremy. Oh, wow. That's a very pleasant crowd. Thank you. I'm going to be talking today about what happens when we ignore the eggs and fund only the chickens. My name is Deborah Udo, or just Debs, because the other is a mouthful. I'm a registered nurse, midwife, and public health practitioner. I'm currently serving in a government hospital in Nigeria, actively practicing, but I am a bit of a double agent. Voila. In my previous role, I served as community manager and research software engineer for OLS, and I also volunteer some of my time to the Carpentries as a lesson instructor, a developer, and I also sit on the governance committee. I am currently in my fellowship year with the Software Sustainability Institute, where I advocate for best practices in research software engineering. And my favorite one is that, Preseeds, my baby project, which I founded and direct currently. I have the next 15 minutes to tell you about Preseeds. Now, this is some food for thought, how every open source project started small. I'm sure I'm looking at people who have at some point founded or supported a small open source project. But not every open source project gets the chance to succeed. But have we really thought consciously about the fact that maybe those projects wouldn't have failed, but they just didn't get the kind of support that they needed? And therein lies the false chicken and egg dilemma, where you require funding to make impact, but funders need to see some impact to give you funding. And I've put the additional note at the bottom to clarify that funding doesn't necessarily mean finances. In this case, we're talking about resources, and you will get to understand more about that shortly. And why is this such a hard problem to fix? Well, credibility is often judged by metrics. Someone called them vanity metrics yesterday, and I loved that. And performative reports or track records or the maturity of your governance committee. And these aren't inherently bad or good things. Actually, they're very necessary. Think about it from the funder's perspective, right? There's risk to be managed, and they need to be accountable. However, younger projects are mostly judged by late-stage rules. And in doing this, we run into certain blind spots. For instance, we think that because a project is visible, then it has value, or because it looks posh and prim and proper, then it's ready to be funded, or because it's stuck around longer than some others, then it means it has impact, or network proximity means merit, so being closer to the key players or having access suddenly makes it look like you're a more serious project. However, these blind spots birth some diversity gaps, and we don't make enough room for new and unconventional ideas. Now, what's the cost of ignoring these eggs? Well, of course, we strangulate and stuff the life out of new and novel ideas. No more innovation, no new maintainers, and the previous maintainers are crying, burning out. There's a starvation of regional, cultural, and disciplinary diversity. There's a nurse speaking at Fosdem. There's long-term consequence overall, where we have a fragile and homogeneous, flat-out boring ecosystem. And a thought that I want you to really leave with is the fact that considering diversity isn't charity, it's actually the core of sustainability and its risk management for our future. And so pause and ponder, what if we invested in potential and not just proof or track records? Pre-seeds. I told you I was going to come back to pre-seeds. So pre-seeds is an open source initiative. It's a community-led curriculum. We're trying to get more research coming out of Africa by teaching open research skills. And the mission is to find people where they are and deliver materials that really upskill their knowledge when it comes to research practices. And this also serves our larger research software engineering community by helping researchers who have come from non-academic backgrounds to get acclimatized to the world of research. It's modular, self-paced, but we also deliver this as workshops. And on the right, you see the pillars on which pre-seeds is built. And these are some, well, there's not enough room on the wall for all the challenges for early stage projects, but there's problems of limited credibility, no access to networks, inexperience in handling grants, and the general lack of experience in these tidal waters. There's unclear governance expectations. I know how much effort it took to try and get enough documentation to be onboarded as fiscal sponsors. There's a general lack of visibility for smaller projects. And a word of note is that this isn't necessarily a competence problem. It's more access problem. And a fairer metric, as my friend Roland would always say, is to judge achievements relative to opportunity. Now, what does it mean to actually support projects early? Non-monetary support or visibility, for instance, sharing your platforms early enough with smaller, non-shiny projects. Mentorship, as I mentioned, I am a fellow of the Software Sustainability Institute, and one of the programs and one of the benefits of being a fellow is that you get a mentor, someone to guide you on dark, fuzzy days. I went too far, didn't I? Networks. So access to the right people can really make the difference between success or failure for open source projects, especially young ones. And amplification, going out there and talking about new interesting projects that you found. This is credibility by proximity. It really helps these projects more than you know. And at the bottom, I've put some of the organizations or institutes that have been of incredible support to pre-seeds, whether by providing pots of funds or lending us Zoom access for our pilot workshops or letting us go through trainings for free. These make a world of difference. But I'd like to point out that pre-seeds is not unique. I'm not here to tell you about a challenge that we faced. This is a pattern that keeps repeating in our ecosystem. And small investments, whether in time or generosity, can make so much difference between whether those projects later get ready for funding. Case in point, I'm sure you see the screen. Serena Williams investing in 14 companies that went on to reach unicorn status, a value of $1 billion or more. On the right, you can see some interesting stats, how 79% underrepresented founders, 54% were women, 47% were black founders, 11% were Latino founders, and less than 2% of all VC money went to women. food for thought. And a second case study is of from Cindy Gallup to female founders, talking about how white men tend to get funded based on white women don't get as much funded, and it's even worse for women of color. All of this and 11,000 plus more stories can be found at nottheonlyone.org. And so in wrapping up, what can you do about it, whether you're a funder or an individual who just cares about open source? It's imperative that we change the things that we count. We should start being more conscious of rewarding learning, momentum, clarity, and not just the scale of impact. It's important that we share our platforms early enough, invite young projects to speak, to demo their work, to participate. It's also really, really incredibly important to lower the cost of credibility. It should be enough that someone has made an introduction, references count, trust signals matter as well, and everyone in this room can do at least one of these things. If we only fund the chickens, how can we be surprised when this ecosystem stops laying eggs? What questions do we have in true carpentry style? I will entertain questions for whatever amount of minutes I have left. And thank you very much for listening to me.
So we have a few minutes for questions, and a reminder again, questions please, not statements. Any questions? James.
Okay, so I very much agree with the premise that you should invest in potential, but I suppose, to misquote Macbeth, if I could look into the seeds of time and see what grain will grow and what will not, I would only invest in what grains grow, but I can't. How do you recognize potential?
Most of the in-betweens I didn't really catch, but I think the most important part was right at the end. How do you recognize potential? That's a great question. I cannot confidently answer and say there's a laid down metric to identify potential, but I believe that things like passion and impact and vision count towards potential, and that should be taken into account as well.
Any more questions? Yeah, okay, thank you.
Actually, not so much a question, but your remark about the white guys getting funded because they recognize themselves, and the white women getting funded when they have proof, and the black women not getting funded. I just want to say that seeing you up here as a woman, seeing another woman in a setting like this, is always inspiring, and I think you have a point there, and I really like seeing you up here giving this talk.
Thank you.
Okay, I think that's all, but I think that was a very good point to finish on. Thank you very much, Debs. An inspiring talk. And we have a little thank you from the conference for your efforts. So thank you very much. We have a short break, and then we'll be back with the next talk in 15 minutes. Thank you all very much.